Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by renowned public radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back our guest, the governor of Rhode Island, Gina Raimondo. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Ian.
House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello has not showed any sign of supporting your top priority, Governor. That's your proposal to offer Rhode Islanders 2 years of free college tuition at CCRI, RIC, or URI. Is there anything that will stop him from significantly cutting your proposal or not including it at all in the House version of the budget?
You know, I think that we just have to stay at it. It's going to be a challenging budget, obviously. The revenue looks like it's not going to come in where we had forecasted it. My position is this is about jobs. This is good for the economy. This is about making sure every Rhode Islander has the education and training they need to get a good job. I think it's a smart investment, and I'm hoping that he'll be open-minded and we can find a solution that's good for everybody. So I'm just going to keep pushing it.
Let's go to a question or comment from Scott.
I'm just wondering, Governor, are you amenable to some kind of a compromise here on this issue? For instance, New York State has just put this into law, but you'll notice that they have an income limit on the tuition, upper income limit, and also students who take this benefit have to stay in the state of New York for 2 years after graduating. Are there some things like that that you could be amenable to in order to get this through the House and the Senate?
Yes. Everything I've ever put forth, whether it's pensions or roadworks or Medicaid, always open to compromise. That's the only way to get things done. You know, you can't say it's this way or nothing. Though here's the reality. Nowadays, you almost can't get a job if you don't have a degree past high school. And a lot of people can't afford going to college. People drop out of RIC and CCRI every day because they can't afford it. So my interest is to make sure everybody has a shot to get a good job and to make sure employers want to be here. You know, GE, Johnson & Johnson, Virgin, eMoney, they want to be here for the talent. So I'm absolutely not going to say it's my proposal or nothing. I'm saying let's invest to upskill Rhode Island so we can have, you know, good jobs for people.
How about a phase-in? In other words, people are talking about the fact that really to start at CCRI and do it there and then see what happens and over the next year or so go on from there.
There's lots of things that I'm open to compromise on. I'm open to sitting down with the legislature, figuring out, you know, how much money do we have? What's the right way to structure this? If you only include CCRI, there is a risk that, you know, that's quite detrimental to RIC. Mm-hmm. So whatever we do, I want to make sure that every institution is kind of treated equally and at least held harmless.
You're sounding like you're willing to compromise, but from the other side, what we hear is absolutely not. It's going to be a hard sell.
Could be, but I think it's a fight worth fighting for. We had Governor Haslam from Tennessee on the phone last week. He's a Republican from the South, and he thinks it's one of the best things he's done to jumpstart their economy. You know, it's a modest investment, and I think it's the right thing to do. 100 years ago, we were fighting over whether we should pay for public high school. A lot of people said, no, we don't need it because everyone works on the farm. Other people said, no, they're working in factories. You need high school. I think 20 years from now, we're going to look back on this and most states will be doing it. The states that went first will have the real economic advantages. And it's a vote for jobs. At the end of the day, a vote for Rhode Island Promise is a vote for jobs. It's about economic development. And I'd like to see if we can get something done.
In other news, a revenue estimating conference next Wednesday will identify how much revenue is available for the state's next fiscal year. Revenue for the first three quarters of the current fiscal year is down by more than $40 million. And Speaker Mattiello wants to begin a phase out of the car tax to the tune of that amount, $40 million. Governor, is that fiscally responsible in light of the uncertainty about the amount of state revenue?
So a couple things. We don't know what the revenue is going to be, so we ought to wait, not speculate. Also, I think it's important to remember revenue's up. You know, the economy's doing well, revenue is up. This is just, it's a forecasting issue. You know, maybe the budget analysts were a little bit too optimistic in the fall, but people should feel good that revenue is up. Anyway, look, as to that, we got to sit down and see how much money there is and what would be responsible. I give him a lot of credit for taking on an issue that is a big issue in Rhode Island and has been a big issue bothering people for a long time. And we just have to sit down and figure out, you know, what we can afford and what's doable.
Maureen, we've talked a lot about the car tax here in recent weeks. Do you see anything that would lead Speaker Mattiello to create a longer timeline than is envisioned 5 years for wiping out the car tax?
Perhaps a longer timeline, but I think he's pretty clear on the fact that it is going. I mean, I think he's sort of rejected the lowering of it. He seems pretty strong on that. That's the only wiggle room that I see, because he has made this huge commitment and he's kind of boxed himself into a corner, in my opinion. So he's got to go for it. The only thing he might be able to do is phase it out a little longer, but I do think it's going to happen.
You know, and that may be a good idea, right? You can't eat an elephant in one bite, and this is $200 million. To absorb. Since the speaker's been speaker, I think he's been very responsible fiscally. He is strong on jobs and the economy. And, you know, I don't want to speak for him, but he doesn't want to do something that is fiscally, you know, irresponsible. And I don't think he will propose that. So elongating it over a much longer period of time could actually be a decent thing to do.
Scott, we had Senate President Ruggiero in here a couple of weeks ago. He said it would be imprudent for the state to launch either into the governor's college tuition plan or complete phase out the car tax if the state can't afford it. How do you see this playing out?
Well, a couple of things. It certainly leaves the Senate in the catbird seat. We know where the governor's coming from. We know where the House is coming from. And in the internecine warfare that's always at the Capitol, the joust between the House and the Senate, it kind of puts the Senate in a position of maybe they can bring the two sides together. Now, that said, I agree with the governor. At this point, we need to take a little bit of a deep breath, because next week we're going to have some solid numbers. Everyone in Rhode Island knows that you never make serious budget decisions until we have these May revenue numbers, so we'll know a little bit more next week.
Finally, 2,000 people voted in a recall election involving Providence Ward 3 City Councilor Kevin Jackson this week. That's a small fraction of the residents of the ward, but more than 90% of them voted to recall Jackson. Governor, you said that you supported the recall. Do you think this is an example of democracy in action, or is it more reflective of the apathy that let Kevin Jackson remain in office for more than 20 years?
I would say it's democracy in action. He is my councilman, so I showed up and I voted to recall. And by the way, it's not personal. I actually like Kevin. I think he's got a good heart and he's done a lot of good things over the years.
But I believe he and Luisa Ponte were behind you when you announced your campaign for governor.
They were. Now that you remind me, they absolutely were. And I think he's done some good things over his time in service. But, you know, this now, I think, in light of the allegations and the indictment, I voted to recall him. People deserve, this is about confidence in your public leaders. It's about good government and government people deserve. I actually have a bill right now before the legislature, I'll give a little plug for, which if it passed, Kevin Jackson wouldn't even be allowed to stand for re-election, because it says if you have the outstanding campaign finance bills, you can't be on the ballot. And so I think we got to move towards those kind of good government provisions to give people confidence.
What level of optimism do you have that that bill will become law this year?
You know, some optimistic, you never know. But I know the legislature wants to continue to take steps to let people have confidence in government. So I'm hopeful they'll do something on it.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.